just welcome everyone to tonight's Citizens Climate University. It's a weekly webinar program on Citizens Climate Lobbies that provides CCL supporters like you and I with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics relating to climate change and effective climate advocacy. I'm your host, Brett Cease, and tonight's specific topic is generating media coverage. Join CCL's communications director, Flannery Winchester, for a training that explores news coverage in the media, including articles, press, and media awareness that mentions our organization and CCL's work earned outside of paid advertising. Flannery is going to walk through some strategies for generating news coverage with your local chapter and really how you can also support on-the-ground efforts with the national communications team. And by way of introductions, just a little bit of background about Flannery. Communications Director Flannery trains and supports volunteers to publish written pieces in local media, appear on TV and radio, and she also pitches our national media, manages and edits the CCL blog, and keeps all of our volunteers and inspired through social media and regular newsletters. So with that, it's such an honor to have you join us tonight. Thank you all for making time to be with us, especially on this era where we're seeking closer social connections. And we hope you enjoy the training. The floor is yours, Flannery.
Wonderful. Thank you, Brett. So we have three learning goals for tonight. Hopefully by the end of the training, you will understand how media coverage is distinct from CCL's other media work, which you might be more familiar with. We're going to review some key materials, specifically press releases. And then we're also going to learn the process of generating media coverage, including developing your local media list, which is, I think, something that that's the gap, I think, that a lot of people have right now is where exactly do we reach out and how do we reach out? So we'll talk through that whole process. So we'll start by, we're going to define what is news coverage and why are we inviting you to think about it now when we haven't put much of a focus on it in years past. We'll talk about how to alert the media to the story you want them to cover. We'll discuss the components of a press release, how to develop your local media list, and then we'll talk about the actual process of pitching someone and next steps to expect after that. Before we get into the topic tonight, generating media coverage, I wanted to take a minute and make sure that you guys know sort of where we stand with writing letters to the editor and writing op-eds during this time where we're all dealing with the pandemic and where so much focus is appropriately on the pandemic and not necessarily on climate change. And so I have some guidance, but I wanted to know, well, first let me go through our general guidance and see if that answers questions that you guys may have, and then we can take a few minutes to see if there are other questions that we haven't touched on. So, so in general, our advice for when you're writing letters to the editor right now, and this is also, this is advice that you can share with others in your chapter who are working on media. Really, first consider what your letter is actually about and the angle of it. So in particular, we do not recommend taking an angle that suggests that the pandemic is good for carbon emissions or good for the environment because people are staying home or something like that, because there are so many negative effects of the pandemic, and we don't want to come across really tone deaf, like, hey, all of this bad stuff is worth it if we get some good things that we want. That's not a direction that we recommend going. But instead, you could maybe draw a connection between, like, for example, our legislators are getting ready to send direct cash payments to every American. That is something that you could talk about, and you could say that that, you know, is a tool that could be used in the future for dealing with other economic shifts, such as when we shift to a clean energy economy. And so you could kind of gently support the idea of dividends, or maybe you could write a letter that points out that, you know, this crisis underscores the need to listen to to experts or to scientists and follow their guidance, whether it's on health or on climate change, or, you know, you can make some of those sort of gentle connections. So that's something to consider, is just the, what you choose to write about. Try to be thoughtful about that. And then also about the tone that you take. So just because right now the pandemic is bringing so much uncertainty, and people are being harmed by different pieces of it. Obviously, there's people that are actually dealing with the virus itself, but then there's people that are dealing with the economic pain of having their business close or have maybe losing their job, and so there's all sorts of different things going on, and could be really dependent on where you are. And so I just recommend taking all of that into account when you write a letter, and maybe ask yourself, just sort of as a gut check, like, how would this letter sound to me if someone in my family were sick? Or, you know, how would this sound to me if I had just lost my job because of this pandemic? You know, and that can be a way to kind of gauge if you're striking an appropriate tone, or if you have, maybe veered off a little bit. and then timing is important too. Again, like, different parts of the country are at different stages of dealing with this. And so just be thoughtful about that. If you're in an area that is really dealing with the sort of a peak, you may not choose to write a letter at all during that time, you know, or write a letter that connects to climate change at all during that time, and just wait a little bit, or, you know, so just take that into account, the who will be reading your letter and what's going on around them at the time. And then in general, you can't go wrong if you are remembering CCL's values of, expressing appreciation and respect for, you know, whatever angle you take, keeping those values in mind. So what is news coverage, and why is it an opportunity for CCL volunteers now? So news coverage, just to define our term here, when we talk about news coverage, we're talking about articles, about TV segments, radio stories, anything like that. We are not talking about LTEs when we say news coverage, not op-eds and not editorials. So LTEs and op-eds and editorials are, you're probably more familiar with those especially if you've been around CCL for a while, because we have historically put a really heavy emphasis on those. And those are things that show up in the opinion pages of a newspaper. So as we were just talking about LTEs, that's something that you yourself as a reader write in, and the opinion editor chooses to run it, but you have written it. It's your opinion. It's not not like a researched piece of content, I guess. But and then same thing with an op-ed. It's something that you have written from your perspective, as opposed to news, which is intended to be straight down the middle, fact-based, I guess. And same thing with editorials. That's something that the newspaper is writing, but it's the editorial board or the opinion page editor, somebody who's writing with a perspective, and they're sharing that opinion rather than straight reporting on the facts. And so, so when we talk about news coverage, articles, TV, radio, that's on basically the other side of a media outlet. There's usually a pretty solid wall between the opinion side and the news side. And so the news side is over where the reporters are interviewing people, digging into the facts and trying to report on what's happening and produce a story about it. And the reason that it's an opportunity now and that we are inviting volunteers to think more about how this plays into their local media opportunities is for a few reasons. So one is that CCL really has a pretty critical mass now. We have chapters, hundreds of chapters all across the country. We have these massive lobby days where we bring over 1,000 people to Capitol Hill, which is really really, really substantial, especially compared to other types of organizations that have lobby days or have fly-ins. Ours are just enormous. And so there's a opportunity to get the attention of reporters in a way that we couldn't in years past because we were just smaller. And so our size now and our activities really speak to our the influence that we're having. So that's one reason. Another reason is that the national narrative around climate change and the attention on it has really, really shifted in recent years to the point where there's more opportunity in the news side of things to for this to be a story that reporters are interested in covering. And of course, that right now that's a little bit on pause as everybody, you know, focuses all their attention on the pandemic. But for the last throughout the course of this Congress, there has been a really, really high awareness and attention on climate change in the national conversation. So that gives us some opportunity. And then last, we have a bill in Congress that we support. So for many years, we were just supporting an idea. You know, we were educating communities and talking to Congress about this idea that we had. It was a proposal. But now it's actually in bill form. There are current seated legislators who have put their name to it, and that is news. And it's newsworthy in a way that that us just advocating for the idea wasn't as newsworthy in years past. So there's a lot of reasons why you can probably get the attention of a reporter of a media outlet now, even if in years past it wasn't as possible. When you want to get started with generating media coverage, the first thing you have to think about is how to alert the media to your story, because they can only cover what they're aware of. If nobody tells them what's going on, then they, if they don't hear about it anywhere, they don't know to write about it. So the way that you do that is typically through a press release. So this is the most common and expected form of outreach to reporters. They're used to receiving these. It's sort of a typical thing. And what you want to make sure that the very basic information you want to include in a press release is the whatever it is that you want them to consider for their story. This is an example of something that we sent out for earlier this year. We had a conservative climate lobby day. And so we included the basics of what is the event called? How many people will be there? When is the event happening? What is it all about? Like, that is the kind of information you want to make sure is reflected in there. You want to have the date so that they know when they're allowed to write about whatever you're sharing. And then this isn't actually shown on the image, but at the bottom, usually you want to include a contact. So a local, a name and phone number and email address of someone local that the reporter can reach out to if they want to learn more, if they want to set up interviews, that sort of thing. So those are kind of the key elements that you want to make sure to include. And then you also want to, if you're sort of taking it from good to great, you also want to make sure that you include quotes in your press release. So don't think of this as like a long essay you're writing to the reporter that just is packed full of, you know, data and statistics and information. You also want to give them kind of the juice of talking to somebody. So include direct quotes from someone. You know, it could be you, it could be your chapter leader, it could be, you know, whoever in your, maybe someone in your group who's traveling to DC for a lobby day, like, and they're talking about how they feel about their trip, or they just came back from their trip and they're sharing how it went. So those direct quotes are something that really helps the story start to come to life, and that's helpful to include in a press release because the if the reporter doesn't have time or resources to do a whole interview and write up a whole separate thing, they can just grab the quotes that you gave in the press release and they can include that in their story. And as particularly with newspapers, as they are, you know, strapped for resources, that is even more likely that that would happen. So so if you can give them quotes, it makes their job easier and helps increase the likelihood that you are giving them what they need and that you will get some coverage. And then the other thing is you want to make sure that you're concise. So usually you don't want to go more than about a page because at that point you're probably giving them extra stuff that they don't really need past the basic details, because you want to think about a press release as like, you want to give them just enough that they understand what the story is and their interest is piqued, basically. You don't need to pack in every single possible, detail or side note that you can fit in. You want to be concise, get across the main point, a few of those quotes in there, and then leave it at that. When you're figuring out where to send your press release, so this I think is something that is this sort of connects the dots. You have to have this piece figured out before you can get all the way to the end of having coverage. You have to know where to send the information. So, and this is what I was discussing with Pauline, for anyone who was here a few minutes early, that we recommend that you develop your own list of local media contacts. So we do have a database, or we have access to a database at CCL National. So we can find local contacts for you, but it's not always up to date, like immediately up to date. And we also don't know for your area what are the most prominent media outlets. We don't know, you know, what do people really read and what is technically a media outlet, but nobody really looks at that one or things like that. You know a lot from your, from just being a member of the community and being out there and seeing what people, what media you interact with, what your neighbors interact with, your friends. So, so the first step of building your list is to think about those local outlets. So for example, so I'm in Atlanta, and so I know our main newspaper is the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. We also have one of our main TV news stations is, there's 11 Alive in the morning, there's WSB TV, and then I know we have an NPR affiliate that's WABE News. So so just off the top of your head, you probably are aware of the biggest outlets in your area. And again, I just want to reiterate, this is not just for print. So think about newspaper, but definitely also think about your local TV stations, think about your local radio stations. And even if you have anything like hyper local, like if you have a neighborhood magazine or something like that, even that could be an opportunity. So so start by making that list of your outlets. And then you want to do a little bit of research to figure out who are the right contacts at those outlets. So, and this is going to depend a lot on the size of the media outlet that you're talking about. So if it's a bigger newspaper, if it's a bigger TV station, they may have journalists that are dedicated to writing about climate change or about the environment or energy issues. That that's a common beat, is energy and environment or something like that. So so you can look for those people. Look for people that are dedicated to writing about Congress or government affairs, things like that, because our work touches that area as well. But you could also think about like folks who do kind of human interest stories about like what's going on in the community. Yeah, what groups are, you know, active in the area, the sort of, human interest type things. And so so think about who, what individuals at those outlets fit into these topics or are interested in covering these topics. or are assigned to cover these topics, and then write down their names. And now that's a piece that I wouldn't expect you to know just as a regular consumer of news. You probably don't pay that much attention to exactly who has written what article or who has, you know, produced what radio story or things like that. So you will probably have to do a little bit of research on the media outlet's website to figure out, you know, who's the right person, who covered this story. So you might have to do a little bit of digging, but it's worth it to find those right names. And so then once you have their names, then you have to hunt down their contact info. So some websites, some media outlets on their websites will have people's emails available. Some will have phone numbers. Some won't have anything. They'll have like a general inbox where you can send media tips. So you could put that email address on your contact list. It definitely wouldn't hurt. But it is as much as possible. If you can find a specific person to send to, that would be helpful. So if you have trouble finding that, it never hurts to just find just a general contact phone number, call up their, whatever their front desk is and say, hey, I'm trying to, you know, I have a news tip that I'd like to send to John Smith. What's the best way to send him that information? And usually someone will just tell you his email address or give you a phone number or something like that. And so do a little digging to get the right contact information or as close to the right contact information as you can find, and add that to your list. And then another thing you can do, and again, this may depend a little bit on the size of the outlet, if the journalists are really prominent on social media or participating in social media, but you might want to follow them on Twitter. There's a lot of reporters are active on Twitter, and that could be one other way that you can keep an eye on what stories they're working on or see what they're interested in to help you kind of connect with them a little better. So that is an additional way that you can start to keep an eye on the local media scene and kind of cultivate those contacts. So that's our general high-level guidance about how to get your local media list going. And so then once you've got that list, then you're ready when it's time to send a press release. So when is it time to send a press release? Well, when you have events going on, and that includes conferences. So if your chapter is in the city that is hosting a regional conference, for example, that's a fantastic time to make sure that you alert all of the local media that the event is happening, that people are traveling from all over the region. And actually just recently, the folks in our Knoxville chapter did an incredible job doing that in advance of the Southeast Conference, which unfortunately has been postponed until August because of the pandemic. But they did a great job alerting the media, and they actually, I think, held a press conference and invited a bunch of media, and they ended up with a great TV segment and all of that. So events are a really wonderful opportunity. But beyond conferences, it's like if you're having a climate advocate training workshop and you want to say, you know, that's an opportunity for people to come or for reporters to come interview folks who are interested in climate advocacy and who are maybe getting a new chapter started or something like that. That is, those are all great opportunities. Endorsements are another time that you would want to send a press release out. So if you have folks in your chapter who are working on Grass Tops outreach and they're getting endorsements for the Energy Innovation Act or for climate action in general from prominent people in the community or from businesses or churches, things like that, you can use your media skills to help draw attention to what's happening in the chapter with endorsements. And this is especially true too if they are working on like municipal resolutions. So if a city council passes a resolution in support of this policy, or even just generally saying they support carbon pricing, That's news. And so you can help make sure that the local media knows that that endorsement happened, because that's a fantastic opportunity to send out a press release about that and get some news coverage. So another opportunity might be lobby days. So if you're having, if you're traveling to DC, or if a contingent of your chapter is traveling to DC to lobby, or even if you're having a like a spring lobby meeting and you want to see if you can use that as a hook to get some local attention and say, hey, we're going to go talk to Representative Smith about climate change and about this policy we really like. And then the lobby meeting can just kind of be a hook. And then you can say all the things that you want to say about your work and about the bill. And then another good time to send a press release is if your member of Congress does something good that you want to praise. So part of why we work in local media markets is because members of Congress pay attention to what happens in the local media. So they're looking at the newspaper and they're keeping an eye on the nightly news or whatever, because that is how they keep their finger on the pulse of the district. And oftentimes they want the support of media outlets when it comes time for reelection. And so it's helpful to kind of shape the narrative that happens in that local media market. And so when your member of Congress does something good, you can show up in the local media saying, hey, we really liked that Representative, Johnson did XYZ. We think that was a really smart decision, and we appreciate it, and we're so glad that whatever, just general praise, and because that will show your member of Congress that it's valuable for them to take steps forward on climate change, when they even if they just take a baby step, if you're out there celebrating them and cheering them on, that shows them that you have their back, and that you are publicly saying, yes, it's good and it's safe and it's encouraged to act on climate issues, and people in this area want you to do that, and you're saying that publicly. So that's a really, really good opportunity to try to get media coverage when your member of Congress steps up and does something good. So we don't leave you hanging on all of this. I'm not just going to send you out there to create your own press release from scratch. You're welcome to, but you don't have to. So we have some templates available on CCL Community for you. So the page is called Local Press Release Templates. And on the left here, this is what you'll see. So you have a couple different press releases that that fit those scenarios that I described. So you have a press release about when volunteers are going to DC for our conference and lobby day, which of course is not happening in person this year. But the next time that it happens, that's something that you'll have a template, an updated template about. There's a press release to praise your member of Congress for doing something. And right now that template is based on them either joining the bill or signing on to a climate solutions caucus, either in the House or the Senate. You have a press release that you can use for a Grass Tops endorsement that happened in your community. And then also a press release about a local event that you may be having, like a climate advocate training or a local meeting of some other kind, or a movie screening or something like that. So those are always available for you on CCL Community. So that is a starting point. And then if you look over on the right side of the screen, you'll see this is kind of what they look like. So these sections that are highlighted here, that's where you fill in your information. So so this says local climate advocates applaud representative/senator name. So you would put in the member of Congress that you want to talk about. And then you put in the action that they took. So if they signed on, or if they voted the right way on a certain bill, or if they joined the Climate Solutions Caucus, or if they became a co-sponsor of the bill, that's what you would fill in there. And then you just drop in your month, your date, and your year, the name of your chapter. And then again, you just go through the template and you fill in those highlighted sections. And so that you it's updated and ready to send out. And then usually what we'll include in these templates is a place where you can put in a quote from someone in your chapter. So maybe it's your group leader, maybe it's the liaison to this particular member of Congress, things like that. But there will be guidance in there about who we suggest you get a quote from, and then a place for you to drop that quote in. So we try to make it easy for you. The templates are there so that you can grab them, you can just drop in your details and you can go. And if you ever have a situation where you want to send out a press release about something that is beyond these topics, that's totally fine. And hopefully the format that you see in these templates can kind of guide you and help you do the same kind of thing for whatever your special circumstance is. And then the other question of when is, like specifically when in relation to your, you know, your event or the thing happening, when to reach out to your local media contacts. So don't be afraid to give yourself a few tries. Reporters are busy like all of us. People have a million emails like all of us. And so let's say if you are working on generating coverage for an event, you could reach out, you know, 2 weeks before, again, a few days before. You could reach out even immediately after and send some photos, maybe updated quotes. And so give yourself a couple bites at the apple to get their attention. And the same works for, you know, if you know an endorsement is coming, if you expect that if you're working on a municipal resolution and you expect that the vote will go your way, or you know the vote will go your way, you could give some reporters a heads up and say, hey, you know, on Tuesday, the city council is going to vote on this thing. Do you want some background information? Can I set you up with an interview of someone who has been working on this, and so that you can get their attention on it? Yeah, hopefully secure some coverage. So, but the main takeaway is don't be afraid to reach out a couple of times, because that's what it may take to get their attention. This is just a little tip down here. So usually we recommend copying and pasting the press release into the body of the email rather than sending it as an attachment. And that's just because some email filters for different organizations will have, you know, will flag attachments as spam, or people won't open attachments from people that they don't know and that sort of thing. And so we just recommend, you know, when you reach out, you know, start your email and say, hi, so-and-so, I have a, you know, we have this event coming up. We thought you might be interested in covering it. Here's a press release below with more information. And then you just drop it right there. And then they have everything that they need, in the press release, including the contact, which is probably going to be you. And so that they can get back to you, and continue the process if they do want to cover that. So after you've sent out your communications, you've given them the press release, the next step is you're probably going to have to follow up, until you get to a point where you really do have a relationship with a reporter and you talk to them periodically about what your chapter is doing and all of that. It's going to start off essentially as a cold call, a cold email. And so you'll need to follow up, most likely to get an answer or to make sure that they've seen it or that sort of thing. And don't be afraid to pick up the phone too. I mean, you can start on email so that you can send the press release, but, if you don't hear back after a couple of days, and you do have a phone number for that contact, give them a call and plan to leave a voicemail and just say, you know, say your name, say you're calling from the local chapter of Citizens Climate Lobby, that you sent them a press release about, you know, an upcoming event or an endorsement or whatever it was. And that you were just calling to confirm that they got it and see if they were interested in covering the news. Short and sweet, but don't be afraid to follow up, especially with a phone call. And then if they are interested, then, they will let you know, and you or your fellow volunteers might be interviewed. So We are going to have a whole other separate training on preparing for interviews, because that is another thing that is, I think, a big question in a lot of people's minds is how do we really get across CCL's message and the work that we're doing and the all the information about this bill. How do we get all that across in an effective way in an interview setting, especially an interview that may be recorded or filmed? How do you make sure that you cut right to the chase and give them a good sound bite and still get your message across? So we'll have a whole other training on that in a couple of weeks. But hopefully that is what will happen next. If your local media contacts are interested, they'll reach out for more information. They might want to have a phone call with someone or set up an interview where you come into the TV studio or you are recorded for the radio or something like that. And then ultimately, hopefully, the news coverage will be published or aired as appropriate. And then you get to celebrate. When that happens, when your coverage is published or aired, you should file a field report so that CCL National knows that it happened and it counts in our overall media numbers so that we know how much you guys are out there generating and we can celebrate that. So here I just wanted to show you a couple examples briefly of media coverage that has just popped up in the last few weeks. So this is a piece from the New Hampshire's public radio, and with a great title that has the name of our policy idea right in it. So it says, New Hampshire town meetings to vote on call for carbon fee and dividend. And the lead here says, town meeting ballots across New Hampshire on Tuesday will include a resolution in support of carbon pricing, due in part to the efforts of young climate activists. And then it goes on and it talks all about the New Hampshire folks who formed something called the Carbon Cashback Coalition and have been doing a lot of really great advocacy work there. But so that's just one example of what that looks like. This is one that was just a print article. And this was about some CCLers organized a tour through Wyoming earlier this year. And so you can see that there's quotes in here from actually from CCL's website. The reporter says, according to its website, the CCL focuses on respect in climate education to create a broad, sustainable foundation for climate action across all geographic regions and political inclinations. And you can see from the text that she's been, or that this particular reporter interviewed Bill Barron, who's our Mountain West regional coordinator. So he's probably the one that sent out the press release to say, hey, we're going on a tour. We're doing this cool thing through the state. And do you want to cover it? And there's a photo from one of their meetings. So, and then this, yeah, this is an example of one that happened from, or news coverage that happened from praising a member of Congress. That was the genesis of this one. So this was on the NPR affiliate station in Jacksonville, Florida. And the title here is Florida Senator Marco Rubio joins bipartisan climate solutions caucus. But then in the text there, there's a quote from Marco Rubio. But then the reporter actually talked to one of our volunteers in Florida named Scott Scheschinger, I believe is his name. And he was the liaison to the Rubio office for several years. And so he said lots of complimentary things about Rubio taking this step to join this caucus and how it's really important that we work in a bipartisan way. And he just did a great job. And with that interview, the volunteer did, I mean. And then that ended up in the in both the soundbite and the written version of this story. So those are just a couple examples of what news coverage can look like and has looked like in the last couple of weeks from volunteers that are already out there doing this.
Thank you so much, Flannery. This has been so eye-opening. And yeah, as Flannery said, with that, feel free to also reach out to me or Flannery. And we actually recommend going to our forums first, just because they're such a robust discussion. But thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's such an honor to have all of you here. We really look forward to hearing about the successful outreach that you're going to do in your own media markets. I'm going to unmute all lines, and we wish you well, everyone.
Thanks very much, Brett.
Thank you. Larry,
thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.